Pickup Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. FourSeasonsGarages.com is where you can find out more of Blaine Bishop, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer, and Kevin Inger. Mark out this morning, and we welcome in one of our favorite spots every week. We visit with Brent Hubbs from BallQuest.com. Brent, what's up, man?
Not much. Hope you guys are doing well in Nashville this morning.
We are. We are good. Oh. More recruiting success for Tennessee this week. They added tight end Miles Campbell out of Douglasville, Georgia. How much of a need was filled with his commitment there at that tight end spot?
Well, I think tight end is, it's a need for a couple of reasons. One, they didn't have anybody in the class, and I think you need to sign one in this day and age every year. And two, with what they've got returning at the tight end position, that's a big question mark. That spot's a big question mark for this year and moving forward. Austin Pope's going to be a senior. He played a lot of football last year. He'll be a huge catalyst for them this year at tight end. But then the question is, what do they do behind him for this year and then obviously moving forward? Campbell's a guy they evaluated early. I like the fact that he's 6'3". He's got a frame to add more weight. He plays more physical. I think that's where you see his stock go up as schools have evaluated him. He played more inline tight end last year to show his physicality and his willingness to block. And I think that's something that Tennessee, Florida State, Auburn, some of those schools fell in love with. Georgia called late, asking him to hold off and not commit and not make a decision to kind of give them a chance to get in there. But Tennessee was in there early and often, and Tennessee is a place where he felt very comfortable. He visited up here multiple times, and I think that's a solid get for Tennessee. Can really run for his size.
What else is left to do in this 2021 class? You know, especially as the spots start to run short, I think they have a 22 filled.
Well, I think anytime you lose seven defensive linemen who are going to be seniors this year, you got to go out and continue to get more defensive linemen. I think they definitely want and need another rush end, outside linebacker, rush end type guy. They would certainly love to take another true corner, and they would take a playmaker wide receiver if they could get one. And then the other thing, too, is you only got one offensive lineman in his class, so you want a couple more offensive linemen there. So I think that, you know, the number's a little bit irrelevant. I think they're going to go out and recruit the best players they can recruit and then sort the numbers out afterwards, because no coach in the country is really sure how all this is going to work. If it truly gets opened back up and kids can take visits everywhere, a lot of these commitments have taken – a lot of kids around the country have committed to places – maybe even either they haven't seen them or they've only seen them one time and want to come back and see their school they're committed to again and some other schools. So I think it'll be a pretty wild fall if this thing opens back up.
And Brent, kind of along those lines, and this is a hard question to really answer for anybody, but if SEC schools do give the green light to athletes returning to campus early June or mid-June, do you feel like that's the right thing to do and these places are going to be prepared for that?
Well, I think that if you're the SEC and you're the commissioner, you better understand and know everybody's plan. And if you're an administrator, an athletic director, you better have a really good plan in place. I do think we need to get back to the business at hand in areas that are not, suffering or going through difficult times. I mean, in Knox County right now in East Tennessee, there's nobody in the hospital with the virus. There's no hospitalizations right now. I think there's something like 32 active cases in Knox County. So, yes, I think it's fine for student athletes to get back to campuses. I think that you got to have a plan. What's your weight room plan going to look like? What's your cafeteria plan look like? You know, how are you going to handle meetings when you can't have everybody in the meeting room at the same time? You just got to have a plan, and you got to adhere to that plan and follow that plan. And I think that's the case for, you know, college athletes. And my son will be a sophomore in high school this year, and it looks like in our county here on this end of the state, they're going to be able to get back in to some sort of on the field distance, small group workout things to get them, you know, moving forward and get ready for the thought of maybe having a football season.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs from BallQuest.com every Wednesday on The Zone.
Well, Brent, naturally, we're talking about the students as well as the athletes. But, man, do you ever think the fans, if it does get started, will they have a plan for those guys? Or is it just going to say, fans, stay away? Are they going to let it be their option to choose and how many people they let come? You know, what the capacity could be if they do come? What do you think of?
Well, I think with the fans, you know, I think that so much of that's going to be beyond the control of any athletic director or any university president out there. You know, when you're talking about bringing in the general population, And you're talking about bringing in large numbers of that. You're going to have your mayors involved. You're going to have your governors involved. There's going to be a lot of people involved in that one beyond the decision to bring back a smaller number of student athletes and students to your campus. Obviously, everyone's plan right now everyone's plan in the Southeast, I should say, is to bring the students back to campus in August and start their fall semester. But, you know, who knows how things look in a few weeks? That's obviously subject to change. But with the way things have been moving in the right direction right now from a number standpoint and sort of where things are, I think you move forward with that plan. And then in terms of how many, you know, social distancing and how many you can have in a stadium, I think that's what every sports commissioner is trying to determine out there. I think the NFL is still trying to figure it out. Obviously, the NBA has not been able to figure anything out, which is why they're not playing right now. Same for hockey. We know Major League Baseball doesn't seem to be getting, you know, anywhere right now. I'll say this. Every sports league out there that has a TV contract, they all took note of what happened Sunday with NASCAR and the TV ratings that sport drew on Sunday. There's a lot of money involved in this for all sports, and that includes the college level. So everybody's going to try to make it work, but in terms of the fan answer, I don't think anybody has a true answer to that question right now, and I don't think they will have it for at least another few weeks here anyway, depending on how this thing goes.
Well, Brent, have you heard any contingency? I know you covered Tennessee naturally, but with Kentucky, you know, slowly moving and getting everything back to the new normal, how will this affect scheduling? And then if they're not available until, let's say, halfway through the season, have you heard any thoughts on what could be implemented if they started later than other teams in the SEC?
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Kentucky. Because there's a lot of money involved. You're talking about TV deals of $45-50 million for the individual SEC schools. You know, I thought it was, you know, interesting in some of the kind of 180s that we've done in California that they've talked about out there, how, you know, they weren't going to play any of this. They weren't going to do anything in LA County. And, oh, by the way, the Lakers facility is open for practice, you know, and the California State Universities came out and said they're not going to have any students on their campus this fall. So the assumption was going to be San Diego State, Fresno State, San Jose State was not going to be playing football. Their ADs and presidents or at least their ADs have come out and said, now we have a plan in place to play football. Again, I think you're dealing with large amounts of money, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure at Kentucky, you know, particularly if you're looking in the next, you know, 2-3 weeks. The other 13 schools in this conference are going to be working out going through a summer program, but Kentucky football and basketball is not going to be on campus. I don't think so. I just think that the pressure is going to end up being too much for them to get in. Now, how they handle their stadium stuff and in terms of fans and all that, that'll be up to individuals probably in each state. But in terms of getting their student athletes back, there'll be a lot of pressure on the governor in the state of Kentucky by the University of Kentucky. And Louisville to let their student athletes back on campus if everybody else is doing it.
Gotcha.
A lot of moving parts. We're talking about it all with Brent Hubbs from BallQuest.com. More with Brent coming up next right here on 104.5 The Zone. Hey, 36, 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone, and we're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Their website is 4SeasonsGarages.com. Our Wednesday morning visit with our friend Brent Hubbs from FallQuest.com. What?
Well, Brent, I have to start with the usual deal, and that's this past weekend we saw The Last Dance. I don't know if you watched it, but what were your final thoughts on it, considering that it was, pretty much A-OK'd everything by MJ, of course?
I've been fascinated to see some of the once it was over reaction from people. You know, it's kind of, I don't want to say enjoyable, but you had this situation during the whole thing, like everybody was all good about it and everything. And then, you know, Horace Grant comes out and just rips the crap out of it yesterday. And, I'm not surprised Scottie Pippen's got some issues with it because I think he was portrayed in, you know, probably a little bit uglier of a light. I think that it just goes back to what we've all believed and what we've all known that watched them play, and that is that Michael Jordan's competitiveness is at a total different level and his control's at a level So you know that he was going to have everything signed off on, and he was going to approve everything the way that he did. It was, you know, the timing of it was perfect. I mean, if it were in the middle of the NBA playoffs, I don't think it would draw nearly the type of reaction that it's gotten and the coverage that it's gotten. So hats off to the producers of that mini doc or that docuseries to get it ready to go, because their timing of it with what everything was going through and sports being shut down was absolutely perfect.
I have to ask you, just out of curiosity, what's your favorite team, and do you think your favorite team would have beat the Bulls during that?
Well, look, I'm.
I know you're a lot younger than me, so I don't know where you're.
I'm 45 and I'm a front runner. Okay, so I got my first Air Jordan T-shirt when I was in the sixth grade. I had my Bulls hat. I had my Michael Jordan posters hanging on the wall. So, I mean, that was the team that I followed. And I obviously enjoyed watching him play because he did things that we had never seen in basketball. I didn't have any use for the Detroit Bad Boys because I didn't like Lambeer. I didn't like that style of basketball. Still don't like that, you know, beat everybody up. I'm more of enjoy kind of the art of the game a little bit more. So, I got on the bandwagon, and I rode on the bus with the Michael Jordan Bulls, so I'll be the first to admit that's where I was in the early 90s, is I was with everybody else in Bulls mania.
All right. Well, cool. I guess leading on back to basketball, or, you know, college football, I guess. Power 5, I guess, and SEC and Sankey were down, I guess, lobbying with the Congress. Did you know anything about this and what they were doing, trying to lobby for? I think it was for, you know, let's say maybe even players getting paid in college football.
Well, I mean, again, this thing is going to come to a head where, there, you know, you can use your likeness and all of those types of things. And you know, how all that's going to be managed is how all of that is going to be, you know, managed. And I think that we're moving into that world. I think that you know, the problem that for those who are not, who want the, quote, purity of the game and the amateur status of the game, and, you know, college education is you know, those guys are getting paid because they're getting a college education. That all makes sense. I get that. But their sport is driving millions upon millions of dollars into, you know, funding colleges and athletic departments and everything else. And so, you know, they're putting themselves out there each and every week. It's a year-round profession, basically, to prepare to play. So I think this has been coming for a while, and I think how they manage it is all going to be really, really fascinating. I think the NCAA has done the smart thing in terms of kicking the can down the road that, yeah, we're going that way. Nobody really knows how all that's going to play out. We'll see. Today's a big day with the NCAA just for the immediate now, because they're going to vote on whether or not they're going to extend the ban that is set to expire on May the 31st. Are they going to extend that ban, meaning student-athletes can't come on campus for a period of time, if you will? They're going to extend that into June. Are they going to say, hey, it expires the 31st, which truly opens up the return of student-athletes to college campuses and allows individual conferences to vote on when that will happen? The other measure today is the one-time transfer rule. Are they going to table that measure? Are they going to go ahead and vote yes on it, but not enact it until January? Are they going to enact it today? I don't think they're going to enact it immediately, because I think there's concern about how chaotic it will create the rest of the summer in a short window here. I think it will go into effect, in January. But those are a couple of important measures that are on the table today, which will affect college sports this fall, potentially, and certainly affect it moving forward with the transfer rule.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com. Brent, to kind of circle back to recruiting, what happens next for Tennessee?
Well, I think they just keep going. I think you go get the best players you can get, and Tennessee's involved in a good number of players still in the state of North Carolina. I think the dead period is going to be extended through July. I don't think they're going to lift it in July. So I think now that you get your players, if you get your players back on your campus in June, you got to continue at the recruiting pace and manage that as best you can. But you got to understand the high school kids' lives are changing too. Okay, because for the last 3 months, it's been you get a kid on a Zoom call whenever you want to, because he just wants somebody to talk to. Yeah. Well, now he's getting ready to get back into his weight room in a lot of places and get back on his practice field and get himself going back working out. So I think you continue at the pace that you've gotten or that you've been at. And I think a lot of kids out there are still going to make some decisions in the coming weeks, and Tennessee's going to be heavily involved in that. I know they got a big number of commits. I wouldn't worry about that number. I think they're just going to go continue to recruit the best players they could recruit and let the numbers sort itself out as we get into the fall.
Brent, we will start to get our first, you know, preview publications and rankings coming out in the here and now for this coming season. Does it feel like the forecast as far as how maybe the national folks look at this team is a little lukewarm?
Yeah, I think it's because of the quarterback play. I think if you go back and watch last year, they're so erratic at the quarterback position, the up and down play there, coupled with what they're losing in terms of playmakers offensively. I mean, there's some receivers bailed the quarterbacks out last year. With some catches. So I think that there's a lot of positivity about Tennessee defensively. There's a lot of positivity about them in the line of scrimmage. But I think when you look at preseason publications, the reason Tennessee got some love last year was they were returning a quarterback. He didn't play particularly well, so they're probably not going to get as much love in the preseason this year because they played four different starting quarterbacks a season ago. And so the uncertainty there creates a little bit of doubt in the preseason. Most of your preseason top teams are the teams that are bringing a quarterback back that everybody believes in.
Everything good on the farm?
Everything's good on the farm. We got a bunch of hay up, and we're trying to dry out from this week and try to get back after it next week. You got plenty more to do. It's wet, so it's vacation week for the kiddos here.
There you go. Hey, Brent, thanks as always, man. It's always a lot of fun with you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. See y'all.
Okay, you do the same. He's Brent Hubbs. FallQuest.com is an outstanding website. You want info on Tennessee, that is always the place to go. 844 the time, 104.5 the zone. This is the Wake Up Zone powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Coming up, Tommy tosses in Tampa and a shave and a haircut that didn't go over especially well in Schaefer's home state. More of the show coming up next.